Message this morning is found in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 18. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you for, what the Apostle Paul wrote to Galatians. Lord, and I thank you how what the Galatian church went through, God, and how it even speaks to us today, God. Lord, and I just pray that as Paul writes, what he wrote, God, that we would be people of the Spirit, that we would walk in the Spirit, that we would do good to other people, that we would build others up, we would point others to Jesus. Lord, and I pray this morning that we would hear the word spoken. Lord, we would hear it with clarity. God, that we would be Spirit-filled people. God, and that you would just touch each and every one of us where we are, God, whatever our struggle is. Lord, whatever things that we struggles or things that we burdens that we bring, God, that you would just touch us where we are, God. And God, that you would just move in our midst this morning. God, the burdens that you would just take them off. The hopelessness that we bring, that you would just remove that, God, that we would find hope in Jesus this morning. For those who are listening online, God, that you would just touch right where they are, God, that you would bring clarity and understanding, God. Lord, anything, any distractions, anything that would pull our minds and our hearts away, God, that you would take those away. You would block those, God, that you would just begin to speak to our hearts, that the Spirit of God would just touch us now. Lord, just help me to communicate with clarity. Lord Jesus, just have your way in this place and just touch now in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, starting in that first verse, says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to one another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh, reap corruption." Let me read that again. "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we will not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are the household of the faith. See that with which large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but new creation. For those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. I've entitled my message, The Example of a Spirit-Filled Life. So we've really come to the end of our journey in Galatians. And we've seen Paul and the Galatians wrestle with this life of trying to live out the law and this life in the spirit. So last week we talked about the fruits in the spirit, okay? And how, and even the week before that, we've talked about this, the fruits of the flesh, or this list of these attributes that were fleshly attributes, okay? And these were things that you were, those fleshly attributes, or those fruits of the flesh, were things that you were not supposed to do within the church community, or really amongst other people in general. Okay. But then the fruits of the, then Paul follows up that list with the fruits of the Spirit. And these are things that are demonstrated. And Paul's saying these are things that if you're filled with the Spirit, these type of things demonstrate the life of the Spirit. And they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. If you want to know what a spirit-filled life looks like, these are the marks of a spirit-filled life. So we talked, this is what we talked about last week. So do you know anyone who is an example that lives out that fruits of the Spirit? Do you know anyone that has those marks on their life? Hopefully you do. When I first got saved, there was a guy in the church. His name was John O'Connor. John O'Connor was about 6'10". You could not miss John O'Connor when he came into the church. Namely, this guy was full of the fruits of the Spirit. Okay. He was a spirit-filled Christian. He was a greeter, okay, at the door. And this dude, he was about 6'10". He was tall and gangly. He looked like he could play, like he should play basketball, like body-wise. But if you knew John, he was probably not a very good basketball player. And I don't say that to belittle John. He was a wonderful man. He was a godly individual. When he loved, he would come in and he would, "Oh, how are you doing? And you know, I love you and Jesus loves you." And he would give you a hug, and he was just a good person, and he really cared about you. And he would pray for you. And if you asked John for help, he would come help you. And he would do all of these things. And he was just such a blessing to have around. And he was just a family man. And if the church needed things to do, he would do them. And he did all of these things, and he exhibited it. He was always so loving to people, and he was patient. I mean, this guy had the patience of Job. Okay. He gave Job a run for his money. He was kind, and he was good, and he was faithful and gentle, and he had self-control. Because there was times his kids were maybe a little, they were a bit of rascals, or I might have maybe took the stick to his kids if I was a parent. And he was very self-controlled, and but he was just the example of a spirit-filled person. And so we read these things, we read these fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And we're like, that's all fine and dandy, but how do we live this out in real life? And I think this is where Paul goes in, because he doesn't end it here, and he goes into this. And he really continues this idea. In verse 1, he says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." He is really continuing this idea of what a spirit-filled person looks like. And that brings us to our first point this morning. An example of a spirit-filled person is a spirit-filled person builds others up. Okay, a spirit-filled person builds others up. Okay, and how do they do that? The first thing they do is they restore one another when they sin. A spirit-filled person They build others up by restoring one another when they sin. Now, it's interesting. The text here doesn't actually use the word sin, and the Greek actually doesn't use the word sin. The NASB 95 actually used the word trespass, and there is a reason for that. Okay, I'm not sure what your Bibles use. Okay, but the idea isn't this. This isn't a person who is actually going out looking to sin. Okay, this person they're not going out saying, you know what, I want to sin today. They're not going out looking to purposely sin. This is an individual who they went out and they got caught up in the moment and they ended up in sin. And so there's a vast difference where they went out and purposely got they went out and purposely sinned. They weren't trying to live out a lifestyle of sin. And so Paul's making a difference. And a lot of times the scripture makes a big difference of someone who is trying to, who gets caught in a sin, and someone who's practicing a sin. Okay, but it tells us to restore someone who is caught in sin. Now, I'm going to tell you. Let me expand on this and think. If we find someone who is practicing sin, okay, someone who is purposely going out, who is trying to sin, if they decide, you know what, I no longer want to practice this sin and I want to repent, let's try to restore this person. Okay, let's not judge this person, let's not throw them under the bus, let's not leave them behind. If they're looking to repent of that lifestyle, they're looking to turn away, let's restore that person. And not only how Paul says, not only just restore that person, but he says, do so in a spirit of gentleness. Don't sit there and scream at them. Don't belittle them. Don't tear them down. Okay? He says, do it so in a spirit of gentleness. Why? He says, each one looking to yourself that you will not be tempted. And so he's saying, hey, be careful. The point is, be careful because you too could be may fall into this same type of trespass, this same type of sin. So be careful that while you're restoring them, that you yourself don't fall into this same type of sin. And so when you're doing this, do it with gentleness, do it with humility. No one wants to be accosted. Why, you're not really restoring someone, you're not really building them up if you're accosting them and telling them what a terrible person they are. Okay, they know that they already know what kind of person they are. That's not building them up. Okay. Sometimes we think that, oh, I'm being honest with them, I'm going to tell them about themselves. Yeah, that's not operating out of a spirit of gentleness. That's not building them up. Okay. That's you operating out of your flesh. That's you just you wanting to tell them about themselves. That's not restoration. Restoration doesn't need to be abusive. Doesn't need to tell them about themselves. It doesn't need to just. The point of this is to restore them, to be in a right relationship with Jesus, okay? Jesus and the Holy Spirit will take care of correcting the sin and dealing with that, okay? That's not your job. One of the other things that that an example of a spirit-filled Christian does by building others up is is found in verse 2, is that we bear one another's burdens. Verse 2 says that bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Part of that burden is going back to verse 1 and helping restoring them when they fall into a season of sin or some type of trespass. Okay, so we're bearing that burden. Okay, but not only is it just sin, but if they need some type of help, they need some type of spiritual restoration, they need some prayer in their life, they're going through some type of life moment, it may not even be sin, they're just going through a rough a patch in life, it may be lending an ear to that person, it may be spending some time in prayer with that person, it may not even be that you're spending some time in prayer with that person specifically, it might be that you're just taking some time in prayer in your prayer closet praying for that individual, but you're helping bear their burden. And by bearing that burden, you're helping building them up. Verse 3, another way that example of the spirit-filled life by building others up, okay, is do not think too much of yourself, okay? Another way of saying this is don't be conceited. Paul says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is not, he deceives himself. Okay. A very practical way to say is do not think too much of yourself. That's very practically what Paul's saying. So when a person is conceited, they will not restore a Christian in sin. And not only will they not restore a Christian in sin, they tend to do more harm. So instead of restoring the Christian, they tend to heap coals on, they tend to pour gas on the fire. They tend to gossip. They do tend to become self-righteous. They tend to do more damage. And so do not think too much, oh, I don't have that sort of sin in my life. And if they were more spiritual, they wouldn't have that sort of sin in my life. If that's not helpful, you're not building them up, you're tearing them down. And that's not a fruit of the spirit. That's not evidence of being spirit filled. That seems like something of that. That seems like something of condemnation. That seems like something you're going back, living a life of you're trying to practice something under the law. So Paul's saying, do not be conceited. Do not think too much of yourself because it does more harm than good. It actually does no good whatsoever. Verse 4 says, one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not to regard to one another. Okay. Paul's not telling you that you have any reason to boast. Okay. That's not at all what he's saying. You know what Paul's really telling you? Mind your own business. Okay. Now, he's not telling you mind your own business in regard to not to be concerned about other people. That's not what he's saying. Okay. But verse 4 and 5 are so closely related that they have to be understood in light of one another. He's telling the Galatians, examine your own work, not the work of other people. Okay? You can't be concerned about, if you go on to verse 5, he says, for each one will bear his own load. Okay? You have to examine your own work, not the work of other people. You can't be concerned what other people are doing. You cannot control what other people are doing. You have no ability to control what other people are doing. You have no right to try to control what other people are doing. Unless you're a parent, and you have small children, and it's your responsibility to raise them up in the way that they shall go. And raise godly children, you have no right to try to impose yourself upon another person. So Paul's telling you, mind your own business. Mind the things that you can control. That's your responsibility. It's not your responsibility to try to control other people. Now, he's not saying, hey, don't go restore other people. Don't bear one another's burdens. Don't pray for them. Don't be concerned. But that's not what he's saying. But he's saying, don't get involved in business that's not your own. Okay? Don't get involved in gossip. Don't get involved in things. Don't try to manipulate people. Don't try to control them. Verse 5. You're responsible. Example of a spirit-filled person is when they're building people up, is you're responsible for your own self. I cannot control what you guys do. Thank God. You can't control what I do. Thank God. So if you cannot control what other people's do, stop trying to control what other people do. It will make your life so much easier. Too often we get so caught up trying to control what other people do, and it just drives us crazy. We cannot control what other people do. And this is a hard one for parents. As your children, as our children get older, we really want to try to control what our children do. We cannot. We can influence. We can love on them. We can give advice. You can do the same thing for your friends. You can give advice. You can pray for them, but you cannot control what they do. When we mind other people's business without proper self-assessment, we end up condemning them. When they are caught up in sin, instead of restoring that person with the Spirit's gentleness. So what we do, when we don't mind, when we start minding other people's business without proper self-assessment in our own, we start condemning those people when they get caught up in some type of sin. And so instead of restoring that person to a right relationship with Jesus in a spirit of gentleness, we start tearing them down. We start to think highly of ourselves. We have a judgmental attitude. We think we're better than they are. We're more spiritual than they are. And it leads us to an attitude of self-righteous. No one likes someone who's self-righteous. The only time we like someone who's self-righteous is if it's ourself. We don't like other people who are self-righteous. One of the other examples of a spirit-filled life and building other people's up is really, this is really kind of a Jewish idea, is the student must share with the teacher, verse 6. Paul says the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. This is a very Jewish idea, okay? In Judaism and in Jewish thought, is when a student had a teacher, they would pay the teacher. It may not be very expensive, but it might just be food or some type of service. They would provide something. It's just like you go to a university, you pay the cost of tuition. If the teacher's teaching you, you would pay some type of blessing upon that teacher for teaching you. And so that's what Paul's saying is, hey, if someone is teaching you, be a blessing to them. So what the Galatians are now about to see, for example, how love, peace, gentleness, self-denial, goodness work out in everyday life. The whole package illustrates, if we go back to Galatians 5, 13 and 14, okay, what it means to fulfill the law through loving service to one another. All of these things, all the fruits of the Spirit, this is all about doing loving service to other human beings. And so all of this here, all of these things, building one others up. It's about doing service to one another. So we, a lot of times, again, we think the fruits of the Spirit are all about this that we live a godly lifestyle, and that is a secondary aspect. Okay, really, the fruits of the Spirit about loving and building up the community, our church community around us, brings us to our second point this morning. An example of a spirit-filled life is that we do good to others. Okay. So, really, the second point this morning really is an extension of point two. So, we build others up, but then we also build them up when we do good to other people. Verses 7 and 8 can't be thought of as individualistic verses, but as lived out in the context of a larger community. Verses 7 and 8 say, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, from the flesh will reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will also, from the Spirit, reap eternal life." So we tend to read that one, read it as individualistic. It's talking about the larger community, okay? And here, but it's talking about doing right by those around us. It's doing good to other people. It's living this life in the Spirit. It's living this spirit-filled life, doing good to other people. But it's going beyond saying that if we do good to other people, that there's a blessing that comes with it. Okay. Verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not grow weary. Okay. Continue to do good. Okay. Keep doing good. Paul's saying, continue to do good. A lot of times we do good for a season. Okay. We go to work, we work hard. And after a while, we work hard and we think that good things should come our way after we work hard. And after we work hard for a little while and good things don't come our way, we get frustrated or we quit or we don't work as hard as we used to. Or we think we worked hard for a season. And because we worked hard for a season, we should get a bonus or we should get some type of raise at work or we should get acknowledgement or we should get whatever we think we should get. And that's not, and it doesn't necessarily come. Paul is saying, hey, just because it hasn't come today doesn't mean it won't come. Continue to do the good work that you've been called to do. Why? Because in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So he's saying, hey, if you continue to do good, God will bless in due time. But what he's saying is, God will bless in his time, not your time. A lot of times we think, oh, I worked really hard for 6 months. I should get what I think I deserve. That's not necessarily God's timing. That's your timing. So continue to do work. Don't stop. Don't give up. Continue to do that good work. Verses 1 through 6 and the fruits of the Spirit are prime examples of doing good. God will bless our labors in due season. That's his timing, not ours. Do good to all people, okay? Especially the people of God, verse 10. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, okay? All people, non-Christians, okay? Muslims, Hindus, atheists, people who don't like you, people who are nasty to you, people who spit in your face, who can't stand you, who you can't stand. If you can't stand them, work on that. Let Jesus help you figure that out, how you can start to stand them. Okay. But then he says, goes on, especially to those who are the household of the faith. Verse 10 is really an intensification of verse 9 and all that has come before it. He says, do good. Continue to do good. Don't stop doing good. But then he goes on, do good to all people. Do good to all people, just not church folks. Do good to all people. Now, the Galatians, they have people coming in their church causing them trouble, okay? They're causing them all kinds of pain and just confusion, and they don't know what to do. And they have these people causing all kinds of problems that Paul has to address. But then they live in a world where the Romans are persecuting them and they're caught and they are looked down upon, and the Romans think that Christians are just in general a little, they're crazy, and they have these rumors about Christians, and Christians they look down upon as lesser in society. And so then Paul is saying, do good to these people who look down upon you. So it's interesting when you look at early Christianity, when Christianity really did do good to the world around them, okay? When the world went, when there was famine and disease in the Roman world, you know who the ones were going out, feeding the sick, treating those who had famine, those who were sickness and disease. It was Christians who were going out. They were the ones going out treating these people. They were the ones who were doing these type of things. And so actually early on, it was Christians who started hospitals and this type of thing. And so it was Christians who did these type of things. They did good to people who persecuted them and hated them. So it was just this intensification of continue to do good. Then he goes on and says, but especially to the household of faith. You're going to do good to the world, really do good to the church, right? I mean, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, you should do good to them. Brings us to the third point. Point people to the cross. Now it's interesting. Paul's been having this prolonged thing with these people from Jerusalem, where they've been pointing them, really, he's been pointing them back to the law, okay? That's what's been going on with these people from Jerusalem. And Paul really responds by pointing them to the cross. When I talk about pointing them to the cross, what I don't mean is I'm not just talking about like a wooden structure, okay? Because this wooden piece, this wooden structure really is meaningless. When I'm pointing to the cross, I'm talking about the work that Jesus did on the cross, the sacrifice that Jesus died, and so that provides new life, okay? But verse 11 is interesting. Paul writes, "See with what large letters I am writing you with my own hand." Okay, this is interesting. What we do know is that Paul typically does not. So he write. He's Paul typically uses a scribe, or another word would be called an amanuensis. Okay, so typically Paul is dictating this to another person who is writing this out. But Paul felt this was such an important part to. We don't know where Paul actually started writing this at, okay? But at some point, Paul took over writing Galatians, and he starts writing to the Galatians because it's such an important topic that he wants to write in his own hands. Now he's telling them, "See what large letters I'm writing," because obviously his letters are quite a bit larger than the scribe. The scribe is a very, he's trained in how to write small and neat and very orderly, where Paul's probably not as orderly. And so, but it's such an important thing that Paul is writing to the Galatians that he writes in his own hand. He's telling the scribe, "Hey, step aside. This is too important that I have to do this on my own." So Paul starts to remind the people, by pointing them to the cross, that there are people who want to lead them astray, okay? And we have this in our own lives. Verses 12 and 13. He said there, 12 and 13 read, "Those there are those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh, trying to compel you to be circumcised, simply that they don't want, so they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Remember, Paul basically tells them, "Hey, there's really no boasting, okay?" And he what he's going to say is, "The only time I boast is I boast in the cross of Christ." He's saying, "Hey, they're trying to get you Galatians to be circumcised and keep the law, but they don't even keep the law. And they're really the reason they want you to be circumcised is so they won't be persecuted, but then they can boast about you being circumcised." And so he's reminding them that they want to be led astray. And there's people who will try to lead you astray. They will try to come and lead you astray by getting you to do different things that you know you're not supposed to as a Christian. Okay. It may not be as drastic as trying to get you to follow another religion, but it may try to get you to do lifestyle things in your life that you know you're not supposed to be doing. Okay. Going out to the club, drinking, and doing just things that you know you're not supposed to do, making life choices that you know you're not supposed to be making, participating in things that you know you're not supposed to be doing. And when they're doing that, don't participate, okay? Verse 14, Paul reminds that by he says pointing them to the cross, that the cross transforms us, and it's the only thing that we should boast about as Christians, okay? We shouldn't boast about ourselves, okay? Verse 14 says, "Maybe that I would boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to which the world had been crucified to me into the world." Okay, the cross transforms us. The work of the cross that Jesus died on the cross. That's what transforms us. Okay, and it's the only thing that we should brag about. Okay, we don't brag about how smart we are, how spiritual we are. Well, I prayed this many hours yesterday, or I spent this much time in the Word, or I'm this a spiritual person, or I go to this anointed church, or I do this thing. We don't brag about these things, okay? What we do brag about is the cross of Christ. Why do we not brag about the things that we do? Because that's not pointing people to Jesus. But when if we're going to boast and we're going to brag and we brag about the cross, the work on the cross, that is pointing people to the cross. That is pointing people to Jesus. And that's pointing people to new life. Because when you brag about yourself, does that lead anyone to new life? No. That leads people to you. That's never changed anyone. When you lead them to Jesus, you lead them to the cross, and then they can be transformed. Verse 15. We point people to the cross so they can experience new life in Christ through the Spirit. For now, look at it, what he says. Neither circumcision is anything nor uncircumcision, but new creation. So they've been having this argument about circumcision and uncircumcision. He says that this is nothing. The only thing that matters is new creation. Okay? Paul says you can be circumcised, you can be uncircumcised. Doesn't really matter. What really matters is new life. But what is new life? That you've come to know Jesus, that you really become a spirit person. You become filled with the Spirit, that you know Jesus. This is the only thing that matters. So we point people to the cross so they can experience new life in Jesus through the Spirit. That is the whole point of this thing, okay? We point people to the cross so they can experience Jesus. They know Jesus. It's not about us, okay? It is not about us. It's not about you. When you make it about you, you're messing people up, okay? Verse 16, Paul goes on. He says, those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. What Paul's really saying there, and he says, upon the Israel of God, is he's really pronouncing a blessing upon Christians who point others to the cross. Because remember, these other people, they haven't been pointing people to the cross. They've been pointing people back to the law. And remember, the law can't get people to Jesus. The law really it no longer got people to God. And so in Paul, so Paul's saying, hey, don't do that. But if you're pointing people to Jesus, you're pointing people to new life. There's a blessing that he prays, a blessing that there be peace and mercy upon them. And obviously Paul has this idea of peace, the Hebrew word for shalom, this wholeness, this wholeness and this peace of mind, that this completeness, and the mercy is that mercy that mercy is where that God withholds the punishment. That would be deserved upon you. But then he goes on, he says, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. He's saying, hey, I've been punished for Jesus' sake. Okay. He says, don't let anyone cause me trouble no more. He's closing out the book of Galatians here. And he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. Grace, grace, that's that unmerited favor. They didn't deserve it. He closes out the book. He says, the grace of our Lord be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. So he closes out by pointing them to the cross. So here's the big idea this morning. The spirit-filled Christians do good to others. Okay? Spirit-filled Christians do good to others. And they're going to do that by displaying the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But they're going to do so, okay? They're going to do good by others by building them up, okay? They're going to restore people to sin. They're going to bear one another's burdens. They're also going to point other people to Jesus. They're going to do good to all people, especially the household of faith, Christians. But then they're going to point people to the cross. They're going to point people to Jesus, that new life. So here's a question. Do you build people up, or do you tear them down? Okay. And I'm not talking about just Christians. I'm talking about non-Christians as well. Okay. Do you build people up or tear them down? You're tearing people down, so you got to change that. Let the Spirit do a work in you. Do you do good to other people? Do you do good to all people? Hopefully, you do good to those in the church. Do you point people to the cross? Or are you pointing people to you? Spirit-filled Christians do good to others. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for life in the Spirit. I thank you that you empower us. Lord, this isn't something that we try to empower to do on our own, but this Holy Spirit empowers us, strengthens us, Lord, to live a Spirit-filled life, to build others up, to do good to others, to point people to the cross. Lord, and I pray that this week that you would just show us where work needs to be done and that you would empower us to do it. Lord, that you strengthen us. Lord, just touch us and be with us. Help us to be Spirit-filled Christians who do good to others, who build, who strengthen. God, that we would do good to others. We point other people to Jesus. Just be with us now and strengthen us now. And I just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.